Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In last week's gospel lesson, we found Jesus in the desert being tempted by Satan. And somehow power and riches and food, they just somehow did not tempt Jesus. And this week we find out that neither does safety. Safety and security does not tempt Jesus either. In the story for today, Jesus is talking and preaching and healing. And some of the disciples came and said to him, "Herod is after you." Some of the folks came and said, "Look, he's after you." And in a strange kind of response, Jesus, this humble son of a carpenter, says, "You tell that old fox this. I am here today and tomorrow and the next day, preaching and healing. And then we will be on our way." That's his response to the governor who wants to kill him. Herod. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone came to me and said, "Hey, the council president wants to kill you," I would not be surprised. But I mean, if I had to take literally, I mean, if someone said, "Hey, I'm going to kill you," I mean, put yourself in that place. What would be your response? Most of us would probably be afraid, or we might hide, or we might do something else. Now, honestly, having grown up in the family that I grew up in, if someone said to me, "Hey, someone's coming to kill you," I would say, "Just let them try." My instant reaction is always force, scare somebody out. And I'm good at it, by the way. I am tremendously good at it. Years of never being vulnerable comes from growing up in a family of all boys. My poor confirmands sometimes don't know what to make of things. Sorry, Sarah. It was a long time ago. You're older now. But that's not the path that Jesus chooses. I'm struck in this text, not by Jesus' bravery or his strength. I'm not struck even by his almost flippant way of responding to the governor. I'm struck by the incredible vulnerability that he experiences in this moment. Think back to that story about the temptation. When Jesus says, "I could command legions of angels to come down and place guard over me." You have this picture that if Herod wants to come get Jesus, Jesus could have just called down the heavenly SWAT team and protected himself. Herod's threats are of no less danger to Jesus than they would be to us. But in a strange moment, Jesus remains vulnerable and open. He opens himself up to the way of the world. He does not know in that moment what Herod will do. The gospel could have been very short. Herod could have shown up that day, done Jesus in. End of discussion. But it is in remaining open and vulnerable that we get a glimpse into how God will choose to work in the world. It's almost as if in that moment Jesus is already on the cross, already prepared to die. He gives himself up to the world in all of its hurt and joy and deadliness in that moment. And then instead of invoking this kind of very strong, powerful posture, instead he evokes the image of a hen gathering her chicks around. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killer of prophets, how I have longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks. Maybe that's a glimpse into how God incarnate intends to live with and through God's people. I find that kind of presence astonishing and a little unbalancing. It's not the image that we have of God. Certainly not the image that Abram would have had of God. Hey God, I want some kids. Okay, not only am I going to give you kids, I'm going to give you the entire LCH floor worth of kids. Lots of kids. Oh God, my people are under siege. No problem. I'll do them in. But in Jesus, it's a hen on a nest. It's an image of vulnerability that may be instructive for us. We live in a world that worships power and worships status. And to be perfectly honest, we're part of a Christian structure that does the same for the most part. I have never seen a seminar on how to make your church smaller. It's not a bad idea, right? You know, I could do my first one, the compact church. All of our seminars are about how to make things bigger and broader and more powerful, how to get more wealth, how to buy more stuff. Every part of our life is infected with this idea that we should not be vulnerable to anything, that our personal security and our personal wealth will in fact fulfill us. But what if? What if we could emulate the vulnerability of God in Christ? In order to bring the good news, Christ becomes human with all of the weakness that that entails. So how do we make ourselves ready for this kind of, for this adventure, for this challenge, that maybe we are not made to be more powerful, but to be for one another open and vulnerable? In one of his Christmas sermons, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote this: how can we know and make ourselves ready so to wait that in the future we may live as we do now? How can we be sure that we shall not lose our own life waiting for God? The only way to know that the God who will come to, the only way is to know that God who will come in judgment has already come. It is to know that the same God who came into the midst of our history in quiet and vulnerable stillness in Jesus Christ, this is the first and the last. God has come. And therefore all we can do is wait. Wait and watch, praying that he will come again and again. And knowing that eventually he will come at last. No longer clothed in our history with its suffering and death. World as judge and redeemer at the end of time. It is because God has come that we wait? Shall we wait in power and building of ourselves a new kingdom? What might it look like to wait in vulnerability with our and our weakness, to be open to the world and to God in the way that Christ was open to the world and to us? God gathers us as a hen gathers her brood, holds us close in our vulnerability, and shares in Christ that same weakness, that same flesh, that we might be remade in the image of God. Amen.